and bad choices can the result of them or the consequences of them can hang around for a while. That's the reason it's good to learn to follow God. That's the reason it's good to stay in the Word of God, stay in your Bible, hear the Word of God. There's a reason for that. Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, by bread by itself. But the way we live, and the sooner we grab a hold of this, the better off we're going to be. The way we are to live is by his word. It's by his word, what he has said. Because what he said will never fail. It will never change. You know, how many of you, and you don't really want to raise your hand, but because I'm sure this is probably 100% or close to it, you've had people make promises to you, but they didn't come through. They didn't come through. You know, sometimes they was lying to you, and they knew they were lying to you. They never intended to come through. And sometimes people have good intentions, they go out beyond their ability to accomplish what they promise. Sometimes people make promises that are bigger than they are, and so they can't do it. And then sometimes folks make promises and they truly plan to come through for you, but because they're human, they forget or they get distracted. But God never forgets, and he's more than able to do what he said he will do, and he will never lie to us. You hear me? He will never, ever lie to us. The Bible tells us God's not like man. Man will lie to you. Man will lie to you, but God says, I'll never lie to you. Amen. So Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I made a choice that I'm going to live by his word. And his word has a way of perfecting us. Let me say it this way. It matures us. Amen. I haven't reached perfection yet. And I can safely say, nobody listening to me has reached perfection yet. But we certainly should be traveling in that direction. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Yeah, we should be traveling in that. In other words, we should be maturing every day. You know, we need to be more mature today than we were yesterday. Yeah, amen. We need to continue to grow in the things of God. But I have found out when I choose according to the word of God, I always come out on top. I always come out in victory. Are you still here? Hallelujah. And now, in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm just going to read one verse that I've read to you before, the 10th verse. It says, and I encourage you to read this entire chapter at your convenience, but the 10th verse says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the very first choice we should make is that I'm choosing to grow in God. I'm choosing to mature in God. I'm choosing to be strong in the Lord. I'm choosing to be strong in the things of God. And that's a choice we have to make. It doesn't happen automatically. I choose to be a strong believer, a strong man of God, a strong woman of God. That's a choice we have to make. Amen? Now, I'm not going to cover everything that I covered a couple of weeks ago, but I do want to take another look at David. I want to take another look at David because David made many choices in his life. Some were good, some were not good. And here's the good thing about that, though. Here's the good thing about that. He made some terrible choices. We'll talk about some of them here in just a moment. David made some terrible choices in his life. But David learned something valuable, that there is something called repentance. Now, we're living in a time now where many want to live the way they want to live, and so I'm unwilling to change, so you just go ahead and accept me the way I am, you know. I'm going to lie, cheat, steal, fornicate, adulterate, and anything else that fit. I'm going to live the way I want to live, but I want God's blessings upon my life. Well, it's not going to happen. Now, let's take a look at David. He made some choices in his life. One day, and you find this in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, one day, it's a lot of reading, so I won't read it all, but you can read it in your spare time. David was up on the rooftop, and he happened to look and see this beautiful woman bathing. David was up high, looking low, seeing things he shouldn't be seeing. What should David have done? He should have turned and gone back inside, walked away, but he did not. He made a choice. He chose to watch this woman, Bathsheba, watch her bathe, beautiful lady. And he decided that he wanted this woman for himself. In other words, he wanted to have sex with her. So, him and this is happening a lot today, folks, and I just stay with me on this. Many people are using their position to take advantage of others. It's happening. It happens here in America. Sometimes people in a high position will use that position to take advantage of someone else. And that's what David did. He had sex with her. Oh, by the way, she was a married woman. She had a husband. Uriah. He was one of David's soldiers. They went to bed. She got pregnant. So David decided, oops, didn't mean for that to happen, but it happened. And so David said, man, I got to figure out something here. This woman's married. So I tell you what I'll do. I'll bring her husband in off the battlefield so that he can come and sleep with his wife. And then we'll just say the baby is his. But this man, Uriah, was so committed to David and committed to his job that when he called him in, he didn't go to his wife. He stayed on post. He stayed with the guys. He was committed to his job. And his thing was, I can sleep with my wife later, but right now I'm going to serve my master, David. David tried to get him, man, go on home to your wife. Everything's okay. No. Go on to your home to your wife. See, David had an ulterior motive. But he refused to go. So David says, man, got to do something here. Got to work this out. David was a man in authority. King David. And he did something. He made an unthinkable choice. He decided to put Uriah on the front lines. Wow. Think about that for a moment. Put him on the front lines. Front line. He was killed. David thought he was off the hook. I want you, go ahead and turn to 2 Samuel, please. You still here? How many of you know God sees everything we do? We can't hide anything from Him. David made a terrible choice, but he thought he was going to get by. 2 Samuel, let me see, I need to get there myself. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, I believe is where I want to go. Now, understand, David had Uriah killed, put him on the front line, thought everything was going to be all right. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, Nathan the prophet, and he came to him and said to him, listen at this. This is Nathan talking to David. There were two men in one city, one rich and the other one poor. And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe. Am I saying that right? Say again. Ewe? Okay. One little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of its own food and drank from his own cup. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, read the next four words. "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more." And then I could read on and on. But anyway, David thought he had got away with this. But God sent the prophet Nathan to him and told him, "You are guilty. You are guilty." Now, what would the response have been for some folks? Some folks would have threw up their hands and said, "Lord, I don't know, what in the world am I going to do now? Now I've been caught. I've been caught with my hand in the cookie jar. What am I going to do?" "Well, I tell you what, I just can't handle this. I'm going to end it all. I'm just going to end it all." Some folks today take a gun, put it to their head, take their lives. I'm telling you, folks, that's not the answer. I don't know about you, but it seems like I'm hearing something from somebody practically every week where they're killing themselves. Anybody notice that other than me? People are killing themselves. They're committing suicide. That's never the answer. David didn't do that. David acknowledged his sin, and he repented before God. Matter of fact, now again, that's a choice he made. He made the choice to commit adultery with this woman. But he also made a choice to repent. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. I'm just going to read this psalm. And this is the heart that we need to have. And this is the choice that he made. It says, "Have mercy," verse 1, "have mercy upon me, O God, according to your love and kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And against you, you only have I sinned? Excuse me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And he went on, he said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. And so he continued to repent before God. That's a choice he made. Now, let me tell you something. And I don't really know exactly why I've gone in this direction, but I want to say something. Just because you have a high position don't make it right. Because when we sin against God. Listen to this. Just because you stand in the pulpit does not give you the right to abuse the sheep. Just because you call yourself an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, bishop, elder, does not give you the right to abuse the sheep, to take advantage of the sheep. Matter of fact, the Word of God warns us. You know, I tell folks, talking to folks, I say, you know, if you're not called of God to pastor, don't you pastor. Or if you're not called of God to do this or that, don't do it. Because those of us who teach is going to be judged more harshly. Why, Pastor? Because we're the ones that's supposed to set the example for what's right. That means we got to make good choices in life. You know, I don't know about this myself. Maybe not, but a lady told my wife, this has been years ago, no time recent, but years ago, they were discussing something, and she told my wife, she said, you know, it's the anointing of God on men that draws ladies to them. You remember that? Well, the way it was meant is it draws them to him because of their lust. Not necessarily because they wanted more of God, but because they were lusting after the man, the pastor. In one church some years back, the pastor was single. He had lots of women in his church. He was single. Of course, as a single man, he was available if he wanted to be married. And this pastor decided, He was going to get married, so he got married. I think about half the women in his church left. True story. Well, they were there for the wrong reason, weren't they? We as pastors especially got to make good choices. We got to take the attitude that the Apostle Paul took. He says, I keep my body under, I keep my flesh under after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. Just because I'm a preacher or any other preacher or whatever position a person might hold does not give them any more rights to sin. Got to make good choices. As a matter of fact, it's so important because you do have people looking up to you. When you make a bad choice, they're going to think it's okay for me to make that bad choice. So they go and do the same thing. God forbid that I ever call someone to miss Jesus because of my behavior, because of my lifestyle. Amen. Because of my choices. The Bible tells us God was really upset at David because of what he did. God, the way the Bible says that God was not pleased at the choice that David made. He was not pleased. God will convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. And when you sin, you need to repent. Try not to sin to begin with, but if you mess up, repent quickly. Amen. See, we're living in a time now where men call evil good and good evil. But I'm here to tell you, church, you had better know the difference between the two. God does not change his mind just because we're ignorant or because we choose to be ignorant in that area. Well, Lord, I didn't know. Well, you had an opportunity to know. Pastor, why are you on this? Just give God the glory for it. Somebody needs it. Somebody needs it. Somebody need to hear it. It's got into the church. When I say church, I'm not specifying. I'm not saying this church, I'm talking about the church world, where you can't tell the real Christians from the sinners, because everybody say, I'm saved now, and I'm, you know, I've been saved. I'm not talking about a brand new Christian just coming into the family of God, but I'm talking about folk that's been saved a while, but you can't tell them from the world. Amen. When the word of God clearly tells us to come out from among them and do what? Be separate. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me move on. So David made a terrible decision, but he repented for what he did. Now, amen. We've talked about the negative side of David, the bad choices that he made. Let's look at his good choices. Turn to 2 Samuel again, 12th chapter. 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter again. Now, it says that David had a child, right? Had a child. Look at verse 16, 12th chapter. David, therefore, pleaded with God for the child. Child was sick. And David, listen to this, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. Now, David, and there's a lot more to this story that I don't have time to go into, but David was pleading with God for the child, and the child died. Okay? You see that? And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do what? Some harm. David might do something crazy. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Now, learn a lesson from this. David had to make a choice here. All right, I pleaded for the child, but the child died. What am I going to do now? Am I going to do harm to myself? How many of you have prayed about something and it didn't happen exactly the way you wanted it to? Raise your hand. We all have. We all have. But like you hear me say, and many of us say, there's always a story behind the story. Amen. You got to make up, listen, make up your mind right now. It doesn't matter what happened, I'm never going to be mad at God. I'm never going to be mad at God. Look at verse 20. Now David's child died. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord, and what did he do?
Worship.
Say what?
Worship.
He worshiped. He did not go in and say, Lord, I just don't believe this. I don't understand you. Why in the world would you let my child die? You know I love that child. No, he worshiped. Then he went to his own house. And when they requested, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is it? What is this that you have done?" In other words, we don't understand. "You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." Listen to David's response. And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord would be gracious to me that the child may live?" Look at verse 23. "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again?" But I love the latter part of this verse. It's on the screen. "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." What was David saying? I have not lost my son, or my child. I have not lost my child. He didn't say, "Oh, Lord, I'll never see him again." He didn't say, "Lord, how could you let this happen? Lord, I think I'm going to backslide because I'm mad at you. I'm upset at you. How could you do this to me?" No, what David said was, "I can't bring him back, but this one thing I can do, I can go to him. He won't return to me, but I can go to him." He made a choice. "I'm not going to be bitter at God. I'm not going to be mad at God. God never made a mistake, and he never will." Like I said, there's more to the story. You do your own research, because we could be here a while. And I touched on this the other week, and I'm going to touch on it again. Too many of us blame God. There's two people that get blamed, mainly, when things don't go the way people think they should or don't happen the way they think they should. They blame God, and they blame the messenger. I'm going to say that again. They blame God, and they blame his messenger. What do you mean, messenger? I'm talking about the pastor, the preacher. "Well, you preach this and you preach that, but look what happened. I gave you the word of God." Can I help you with something? Anytime I don't get a prayer answered, one of the first things I do is examine myself. Because, see, I'm already totally convinced God never makes a mistake. God is on my side. God is for me, and he is not against me. God is not trying to make my life miserable. So I have to examine myself to see, am I leaving a door open? That's right. And if I'm leaving the door open, I need to close that door. David had spent his time in fasting and praying before God, but the child still died. David says, "Okay. That chapter is ended. He's with the Lord. and I'm going to see my child one day. He's not coming here, but I'm going to see him. And that's something that the Lord's been stirring in me past few months. Don't blame God when bad things happen. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes it's our fault. But you have to remember that the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And listen to me, I'm getting ready to close. And he will take advantage of our ignorance. He'll take advantage of what you don't know. That's the reason we got to stay in the Word of God. We got to stay before God. We got to, because he will take advantage of what you don't know. He don't play fair. He's called the God of this world, little g. Paul, the Apostle Paul, identified him as the God, little g, of this world. But you have to understand, you and I are in this world. That's right. But Jesus said, those of us that are born again, walking with God, we're not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We march, or supposed to anyway, we are supposed to be marching by a different drummer. So we have to be constantly on guard that we don't allow ourselves to slip over there to where we are now. We're thinking worldly, we're acting worldly. And one of the widest doors for that is unforgiveness. Everybody say unforgiveness. When we refuse, we can shout, "Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. Lord, you are the greatest." But if we leave, we need to close all doors. But if we leave that door open, if there's someone in our lives that has hurt us, maybe an ex or whatever that hurt us real bad, you close that door, because if you leave it open, the devil's going to walk right through it and cause you problems. Going to cause you problems. And a lot of times we'll look at God and say, "Lord, why this? Why didn't you? Why? But you left a door open. In the wintertime, sis, if you leave a door open, it's going to get chilly in the house. And see, we have to learn those things. That's the reason the Word of God, see, one of the things that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church, and I am getting ready to close, but one of the things that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church is that we, the church, the body of Christ, that we would have the spirit of wisdom. Everybody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Come on, say it again.
Wisdom
lets you into things, give you insight into areas that you would normally wouldn't be able to go into just naturally. That's the reason we're told to walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I hope you're following me today. I know this brother here, I use him as an example because he don't have that issue. But if this brother didn't like me, I'm going to love him anyway.
That's right.
For his sake and for mine. Because if I choose not to like him, to have something against him, now I'm leaving a door open that Satan can walk right through and cause me problems. That's the reason Jesus says, pray for those who despitefully use you. You pray for them. You pray God's blessings upon them. Pray that they too will come into the knowledge of God and His will for their lives. Rather than condemning them to hell. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I want to, man, that's hard. I can't do that, Pastor. I just can't do that because you just don't know what's been done to me. You know, my ex, and that's so-and-so, such as X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. Hold on. You can't do it by yourself. But with God, all things are possible. I said, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I better quit. What? I left my watch up there. Somebody tell me what time it is. 12:34. All right. Praise God. I'm getting ready to quit. I know I went a little off course, but that's okay. I don't apologize for that. Because God's getting ready. If you listen to me, if you yield to the word of God, I tell you what, you're becoming an open container that God can pour into. Because you will know and understand that what's being poured into you and you won't have time for hatred and bitterness and you won't have time for that stuff. Hallelujah. We go on, I go on Kathy's Facebook page sometime, and you see church services and folk shouting all over the place. Some of it's phony. Oh, yeah, I said it. Some of it's phony. Not all of it's genuine. But you know what? It's not how we dance, how we jump, not even how we clap. It's what's in here. That's going to put you over. That's going to put you over. And as I was about to say, the apostle prayed, the apostle Paul, that we would have the spirit of wisdom, that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, or in the knowledge of Him. That's important. So go ahead and decide right now. I'm not going to allow anybody to rob me of God's blessing, of God's glory, of God's power in my life. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I will pray for them all night if I have to. If that's what it takes for me to be free of them, I'll do it. I'll pray. Not against them, I'll pray for them while I'm praying for me. Because there's too many of us today walking around with a heavy load on our shoulder, carrying a weight that somebody else placed there. And we won't let God remove it. And like I said, the other